Good morning. We're going to learn today Maseches Avodah Zarah, and that has five chapters. So it's after Eduyot. The Gemara is quite long, but the Mishnayos are short. And I always like to refer to it as Maseches Avodah Zarah. I don't want to say we're learning Avodah Zarah, right? So first chapter is called Lifnei Edein Shogayim, and speaks of certain days we're supposed to avoid business transactions and giving gifts and even accepting payments, any transactions with Gentiles, 3 days before their holidays. What's going to happen is that if they're so happy about the transaction, there's a fear that they may thank their God, their Avodah Zarah, for their largesse or their transaction, whatever it might be, even repaying. It says it gives them happiness that they were able to repay. So all of these things are a violation for us of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, because we're not supposed to be responsible for a Gentile to violate any of his mitzvahs. We believe that all the nations of the world have to keep 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And one of those is not to worship Avodah Zarah. So if I am responsible for someone not Jewish to thank his God, so that's a problem for me. So one opinion in the Gemara says 3 days before and 3 days after. And that opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, holds that once a week they have that festival. So Sunday. So 3 days before Sunday, 3 days after Sunday, which you can clearly see means no business at all. However, we see as the Gemara goes on that there were some people like Rava and even late Amoraim who actually conducted business with idolaters, because they said that no, they don't really worship the idolatry. They're not real idolaters. They're just, you know, they're from the religion, and then maybe they go to their places of worship once or twice a year, but they don't really have the essential idolatrous tendency. So that's the question, of course, today: Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Hindu, are any of those people considered idolaters or not? In general, the Balei HaTosfos throughout Shas and Bava Metzia, in the beginning of Choros here in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, a few times. That Christians are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah, even though they're sharing belief in the Creator with someone else. That sharing, that shituf, that partnership, if you will, is not considered Avodah Zarah by the Ashkenazic poskim. The Rambam did think it's Avodah Zarah, so we have a big difference there. But today everybody seems to say that we don't want them touching our open wine if it's not mavushal, but that business transactions are allowed. And the Ramad says not on the Naya Yor. So that's it's considered January 6th, the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. I believe it's their Christmas. The Gemara mentioned, the Mishnayos mentioned all kinds of holidays, ancient holidays. A very prominent one was called Calandria and Saturnalia, which was actually December 25th, because it says that when Adam was banished from the garden, he saw the days were getting shorter and shorter from Tishrei until in September, all the way until December. And it took 3 days for him to recognize that the days are getting a little longer. And then the next day, he made it into a festival, which was originally L'Shem Shemayim, but then taken over by others and made into a pagan festival. So it was further co-opted later, of course. All right, so the first chapter is a tremendous amount of agadot, and really some of the most famous agadot and shas about God's relationship with the nations of the world, offering them the Torah and the refusal, and offering them mitzvahs. The mitzvah of sukkah is there in the beginning of the Masechta. So all of these are the topic of the first chapter, regarding business transactions and rentals and all kinds of things with Gentiles around the time of their festivals. Second chapter talks about, it's called Ein Ma'amidin, and it has references to things that are forbidden in Hana'ah, things that we're not allowed to derive benefit from, especially if there's indications in this thing that it was worshipped or that it was an object of what's called tikrovis of Avodah Zarah, things that they offered as a libation or as a an offering to their gods. That's essentially why we don't use, we have to cook wine before we can use it, so that we remove it from the libation aspect. Right? No one makes libations of cooked wine. So if we cook it first, then it's okay for a Gentile to pour it for us in the restaurant or something like that, a wedding or something like that. But once they touch it, cooking afterwards does not help. Right? That's very clear. And so Tosfos asks in the second parak, what about liquor? You know, liquor is not offered as a libation, but since Gentiles don't offer libations anymore, the prohibition against what's called stam yenam, not yayin nesech, which is libation wine, but stam, regular wine, is because of chasnas. We shouldn't socialize. We can socialize we can socialize just as easily with cooked wine too, by the way, but certainly with a shot of whiskey. So whiskey should also have the same dinim. So Tosfos answers, no, since the original prohibition was on things that are offered as libations, it sticks with libations, and whiskey is therefore permitted as long as it's a kosher product. That's a separate issue, and there are whole books dedicated to figuring out what kind of alcoholic beverages are automatically considered kosher, or which ones, if they have flavorings and other things like that, which ones require a separate hashgacha. Okay, the third chapter is called Atzlamim, about idols and objects of adoration that people worshipped and kissed and held with them. And it's interesting questions. If you purchase one of them, an ancient artifact that you think was might have been worshipped. So we allow these things today because of what's called the Sfek Sfeka, double doubt. One, a doubt maybe this thing wasn't worshipped. And two, even if it was worshipped, it's possible that the one who worshipped it refused it, refrained from it, and broke off a piece. Usually if there's a piece broken off, that might be a sign, like a piece of the nose or something, a piece of the ear. It's a sign that it was rejected. Mara asks, what happens if the Avodah Zarah fell on the floor by itself? So Rish Lakish says, well, the person will say, this couldn't help itself. How is it going to help me? Rabbi Yochanan says, we see a story in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph that when the god of the Philistines kept on falling in front of the Aron they captured, they kept on propping it back up and worshiping it, right? So we see that if you're stupid enough to worship an Avodah Zarah, you're going to be stupid enough to worship it even if it falls and breaks, okay? The fourth chapter talks about more cases of Avodah Zarah, Marcolis stones. If you see when you're traveling in Israel, sometimes you see them, two stones vertically and one stone on top of them holding them all up. Don't throw a stone inside that. Marcolis, some commentaries say, is actually Mercury, the god of travel. He said, if you're traveling and you see these stones, if you throw a stone inside, right, inside the chasm that the three stones make, then you'll have a successful trip. That's nonsense. Just pray to Hashem, say Tfilas Haderech, and that'll be fine. Okay. The fifth chapter is a crucial chapter of kashrus, and I just happened to have finished this yesterday in Sechas Avodah Zarah, Gemara. So and it talks about kashering things and nesach and laws of hashkachas and how you know that someone is watching it, someone's not watching it. Okay, the last Mishnah talks about something that's nogea to this week's parsha, about taking kalim from, or buying kalim, or purchasing or bartering kalim with a Gentile, what you have to do to kasher it. We have to tovel it also, we learned from this week's parsha. And the very last Gemara talks about Shabar Malka, a Gentile king who knew the laws, and when he wanted a slice of fruit for a rabbi who was sitting there, he stuck it in the ground 10 times. It's a knife, you know, duchka, the sakina, it pushes down and whatever was in the unkosher thing pushes its way back into the knife. So you have to push it into the ground in order to kasher such a thing. And we generally from this week's parsha, we learn that we kasher it the way it was used. And if it was used directly with fire, we have to kasher it directly with fire. If it was kashered in a boiling pot, we have to kasher it by boiling it, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that takes us to the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We have two more Masechtas in Seder Nezikin for next week, Avos and Horios. And I look very much forward to learning those two who's doing Masechtas with you. After that, we're taking a little break. We're going to finish the first four Masechtas. That means we finished already Zroim, Moed, Nashim, and now we're going to next week, and it's Hashem, finish Nezikin. And I look forward to that very much. I'll call the Seder. Have a great day, everybody, and be well and stay safe. Bye-bye.